Good morning. Good morning. What a beautiful hot day. I'm hoping that by opening that window doesn't make it worse. We'll see. A few announcements. Greetings to all. This is from Pastor Kay and Ruth. Greetings to all the saints of Sylvan Lake. Thank you so much for taking care of us so well. We are so thankful for the special help from the church. Greetings to beloved sisters, brothers, and their families. Blessings to all the kids. We are praying for you, your son in his service, Pastor K. So be greeted from Pastor K. Continue prayer for George and Beth and their families as they go through the situation they're in. Continue praying for them. We will continue to have Bible study. This Wednesday might not be about men's group, so I won't confirm that for sure, because there probably won't be a Bible study at my place, 7:30 on Wednesday. There probably won't be, so we will change that. Friday Bible study is at 7 p.m. We're in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Sunday Bible study at 10 a.m., and we pick a verse or a chapter, and we discuss that during that 45 minutes before service during the summer, and worship service is at 11. Order service, hymn 335, Under His Wings. Rafi will give us the psalm reading. It's 23. Hymn 484, The Wonder of It All. I will do the prayer and the service. Hymn 558, Blessed Be the Tie, and hymn 442, The Wonder of It All. And we're surrounded by Hillmans. I think that's a good thing. I think, so no one will boast. Anyway, I've got a gun. Okay, let's start.
Still I can trust him. psalm reading for today is Psalm 23. I can almost do it by memory. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Shall we open in a word of prayer? Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, another day of grace. Father, we come to you on this beautiful sunny day with such beautiful heat and a beautiful God that has a beautiful sun, that guides us through a beautiful Holy Spirit. Father, we have the challenge and the ability to look into your word, to glean from it what is necessary for this day and this hour. To glean from it a nugget of truth, an inspiration for the heart, a path where the Savior has already gone. That is lit up, that is beautiful, that is glorious, that the eyes cannot see, because of its brightness. We thank you for that narrow path that the Savior leads, that the Holy Spirit guides and directs, that the Father has us on. We thank you for being the called of God, the spiritual seed of Abraham. The brothers and sisters of Christ, the bride of the church, the communion of saints, Father, we are so thankful this day. We do have petitions. We do have prayers. We do have a need of help. And that need of help is through prayer. And we ask for it on this day. Help us, Father. Individually, in whatever we are battling, as a body of believers, to fight the good fight, to be a soldier for the cross, to have the full armor of God, to look to the full counsel of the Word, so that we can dodge every fiery darts of the devil, so we can contain any influences that are ungodly and restrain them and cast them away. Father, you've given us the church, the bride. And Father, we are so thankful that you have and will present this bride, holy, pure, and blameless, as a gift to your Son. Through whatever means it takes to make us perfect. And that means happened on the cross of Calvary. And its likeness was your Son, who died for us to give us life in your kingdom. Father, we thank you for this body of believers here. We thank you for the desire to look into your word and the desire to read your word. And we thank you for family reunions. We know what they're like. We get together, and there's certain people that are kindred spirits that we gather to talk with, that we long to talk to. And we have that fellowship. That fellowship of discussing and having a conversation about your Son and what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do when he comes again. The fellowship of the saints. We long for that when we get together. Give us that this day, this hour. And Father, we are so thankful for this church in Sylvan. We are thankful for the children, sons, daughters, uncles, aunts, grandparents, the entire body that is fitly joined together to make a perfect bride. And Father, we are also thankful for that perfect prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's continue. May the grace, mercy, and peace be granted unto you by God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through that indwelling Holy Spirit on this day and hour of worship. Amen. If we can take our Bibles and turn to the second chapter of the Epistle of the Ephesians. Don't you love that cry? It's beautiful. So any of the parents that are not used to, the louder it is in here, the better. As far as noise of kids, we love it. So don't be afraid to keep them in here. So we'll read from the 8th verse to the end of the chapter 22 of the second chapter of Ephesians. And we'll read it in Jesus' name. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made with by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye were sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. So this text is probably one of the most challenging texts I've read, and I haven't been preaching very long. There's a lot here, and I'm just going to, like I commonly do, just bring the points out first so that we get the points of the text that we want to expose. And then if I mess it up, then at least I got the points across ahead of time. So, number one, enmity of the curse equals or is an abolishment, has been abolished and slain. So the enmity of the curse is abolished and slain in this text. The middle wall of partition is broken down by the grace of God through the blood of Christ. Grace glues the Samaritan and the Jew. It glues the brothers and sisters in Christ by a spiritual seed of Abraham. The called, the chosen, are all one. You'll notice that Jesus said, if you are angry with your brother, you have killed him. He points to the law. If you are angry with your brother, you've killed him already. Jesus is your brother. We've all been angry with Jesus. But he's paid for that. Number four. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Those four things are important in this text. And hopefully by God's grace we can reveal them and prove them true. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. The five solas of grace. The five solas of basically are grace alone, through faith alone, in the power of Christ alone, through Scripture alone, and most importantly, may God be given the glory alone, because he is the one that gets the glory. That's why it says so, that no man can boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. This is the most difficult battle we have. Our flesh is the biggest enemy. Why do I say that? Because Satan has been defeated by the cross, and we are not of the world. God has, by his favor and his grace, he favors us and he separates us from the world. He doesn't take us out of the world, but he separates us. We are different because we believe in the work of the cross. And it also says we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Hebrews 12:2. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He starts it. He sets you apart by grace. He favors you. How much does he favor you? Have you ever wondered that? He favors you over his own son, Jesus Christ. He put your sins in his flesh on that cross. And Jesus died and laid your sins there. And you were imputed 33 perfect years of righteousness. Jesus got your sin. You received his righteousness. The cross is beautiful. So he is the author and finisher of our faith. He's working a work in us. He's presenting a holy, blameless bride to the bridegroom. God the Father is. Blameless, pure, because we believe in the work of the cross. Verses 11 to 13 kind of share where you were at one point in your life. We will look at that, we'll back it up with Scripture. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at the time that ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Why? Because a certain thing has to happen. There has to be a circumcision of the heart. You have to be taken out of darkness into light, born from above, and receive the Holy Ghost and fire. Once you have that, once God does that work in you, you are his. But it says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, we'll stop there, even though it doesn't stop there. We'll go to Romans. And we'll look at Romans 3 and Romans 5 to kind of present a picture of who we were, what we were all about at one time in our walk until the blood of Christ changed us. Romans 3, 21 to 26. Now by the righteousness of God without the law is made known or manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. How do we have righteousness? It was imputed to us by Christ, by God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not one of us have not sinned. Not one of us have not come short of the glory of God. Being justified freely by what? His grace. His favor. He favors you. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. He's taken Christ and put him in your stead, in your place, so the wrath of God can be appeased on his son and not on you. We receive grace and mercy every day because of the work of the cross through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. God is just and the justifier. And because we believe in Jesus, the wrath was appeased on the cross and not on us. We receive grace and mercy. For the ones who believe in the work of the cross, they receive grace and mercy. The ones who do not believe in the work of the cross will receive the wrath of God. in chapter 5 in Romans, from 6 to 10. This is personal. If you can picture yourself at the time where you were the worst enemy of Christ. It's important to picture that. Where, when you were fighting against God, when you were quarrelsome, you weren't listening. For when we were yet without strength, this is a good thing, lowly, broken, and contrite, in due time, Christ died for the godly, for the ungodly. Who did he die for? Sinners, the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God, commending his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Enemies to the cross. Much more than being justified by his blood, just as if you've never sinned, justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. What are you saved from? The wrath of God, by the work of the cross. For if, when you were enemies, we were reconciled to God by his death of his son, how much more, being reconciled, shall he save by his life? This is a beautiful picture and promise. When you were fighting against God, and enemies to the cross, probably propagating ungodly things, that's when he died for you. How much more, now that you've been justified by his blood, will he keep you saved? You've got to picture that. When you were the most self-righteous person, and he changed you from that point, and you were justified by the work of the cross, how much more will he keep you? So we have here, and then it says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes are far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We're near to God. We have the favor of God. We are the called of God. We are the chosen of God. We are the children of God. We are sons and daughters of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There is a middle wall of partition. What's that middle wall of partition? Gentiles and Jews are the same. There's no race card. We are all equal in the body of Christ. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man. What's the new man look like? There's no dividing wall, a partition. Everyone is equal. Making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. What is the enmity? What is he talking about? Well, there was a curse back in Genesis chapter 3. The fall of the serpent. Verses 14 and 15 of Genesis 3. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Obviously, the serpent must have had legs, maybe wings. But God had slayed him, put him down to the dust. And it says, and thou shalt eat all the dust of thy, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. It's interesting he used the word dust. How did he create man? Out of the dust of the earth. the serpent is going to be eating dust. Why? Well, the next verse. And I will put enmity. You think you've won Satan because you've caused Adam and Eve to sin? I will put enmity between thee, between you, Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed, your seed, fallen angels, the influences of the flesh, the world, and the devil, and her seed. I'm building an army that's going to fight against the things that you propagate. You're going to hate the things that God hates, and you're going to love the things that God loves. But you're not going to do it legally. You're going to do it by grace. So the partition wall has to fall. What's the partition wall? Romans 8, 2 and 3. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for the sin, condemned sin in his flesh. Jesus had to take your sin and condemn it in his flesh. And it died there at Calvary's cross. Because what does the law do? It brings death. We all have pictured it. That person's not quite as good as me because they did this. I've never done that. I've never done that. They have. So I have one up on them. See, this is what the Jews and the Samaritans thought. The Jews thought of the Samaritans, they're half-breeds. I'm better than them. What did the law point to? It points to sin. It doesn't point to salvation. It points to a thought in your mind that says, that person is not quite as good as me. Because why? Because they're black? Because they're Samaritan? Because they're a eunuch? In Ephesians, Paul is talking a huge thing here. He's changing the partition. He's abolishing the enmity. So we're now nigh the blood of Christ because of the work of the cross. For he is our peace, who hath made us both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. There's no difference between anyone. The Greek doesn't matter. Having abolished the flesh, in his flesh, the enmity. There is enmity by the law. And that's what he wants to abolish. That I'm better because that person hasn't done this, or that person has done this and I haven't. Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace. The new man in Christ doesn't think that way. Why? Because we don't deserve heaven. By grace ye are saved. By the grace of God go I. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I would be the most evil person on the planet. We understand that. But if we look to the law, we're better. I didn't do that sin. I'm better than him. And this enmity has been abolished. It says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace. You're making peace because you are the no different than anyone else. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, having slain the thought that you're better. The only thing good in you is the Christ in you, the Holy Spirit that God has graciously given you, the grace of God, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Notice it says that preached peace to you which were afar off. At one time you were far off. You were a Gentile in the flesh. And some Christian came and preached what? The law? No. Peace to you. The good news of Jesus Christ. That he died and paid for your sins. And to them that are nigh, which believe in the work of the cross, both the same. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Have you ever noticed one of the things that Isaiah is pointing out in the 56th chapter of Isaiah? It's just a beautiful picture of the eunuch. I mean, I've never seen it before. But it says in the 56th chapter, "Thus saith the Lord," and I'm just going to quickly go through this. "Keep ye judgment and do justice." It's important to judge and to judge all things. The problem is, we don't do that. We don't judge the things, we judge the sinner. Because we're better. Because we haven't done that sin. We've got to remember that that enmity has been abolished. But he's saying, "Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and justice. You can judge all things, and God is the judge. Justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed." This is 56th chapter of Isaiah. "Blessed is the man that doeth this, that judges righteously, judges by grace, and not by the eye or the ear. Is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who doeth this, and the Son of Man that layeth hold on it, and keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing the evil." He's talking about the Sabbath and polluting the Sabbath. Working on the Sabbath day. Not taking a day of the week, the Sabbath day, to honor and glorify God, to spend time in the Word, to spend time in your local church with the communion of saints, the body of believers, so that you can be fed, uplifted, and you can go on with your week. So the first day of the week is Sunday. It gears you up for your work week, right? Also the Sabbath, there's a Sabbath that's daily. It talks about it in Hebrews 4, have you entered into his rest? The daily Sabbath, what is that? I rest on the work of the cross, I don't add to it, take away from it. I rest on what Jesus has done, what Jesus is doing today, what he will do when he comes again. I rest on that, I don't change it, I don't add to it. That's polluting it. "Neither let the son of a stranger that joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from the people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree." This verse 3 is important. Why is it important? "Neither let the son of a stranger, the Gentile, the Samaritan, hath joined himself to the Lord." Make sure he doesn't say, "The Lord hath utterly separated me from the people." The Gentile, the Samaritan, don't believe the lie of Satan. And says, "Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree." The eunuch cannot produce children. It's impossible. But God's saying that's not important. The eunuch was the one that was not a threat to the king. You notice the eunuchs were put in high places. They were not a threat. A woman would look at a eunuch and say, well, no future with that person. They can't produce children. They can't help produce children. So they were used in mighty ways. And they were loyal to the king. And they were put in, but their thought, put yourself in the eunuch's thought. I'm a dry tree. No, you're not a dry tree. What does God say? "For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs." Ethiopian eunuch. Think of him going in Acts to Philip. Put yourself there. Okay? "For unto them I will give," it says here, "for thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, that rest in the work of the cross, that keep my Sabbaths, choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant." These are eunuchs that do these things. The Gentiles that do the by nature the things of the law, but are not under the law. It says, "Even unto them that I will give my house, and within my walls a place, and a name better than the sons and daughters." Sons and daughters don't mean anything to a eunuch. They can't produce them. But God is saying, I will, my walls, a place, a name better than the sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of a stranger, the Gentiles, that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants. Everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them I will bring my holy mountain and make them joyful to my house of prayer, and burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. The Lord God, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet I will gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. Outcasts, eunuchs, Gentiles, besides those that are gathered unto him. They were all equal. If we go back to the text, the enmity is abolished, the dividing wall, the dividing ideology. I'm not better than anyone, except by the grace of God go I. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them which were nigh. The ones that, the old man that was crucified with Christ, the flesh that was crucified with Christ, the change that God allowed to happen in your life by his ordinance. For through him we have both access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. All one. The spiritual seed of Abraham. The army of the Lord. The bride of Christ. Pure, holy, and blameless, you will be presented to the bridegroom in eternity. You are of the household of God and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He's the cornerstone. The one who came to die for us. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Fitly framed together. You have the mind of Christ. You have a heart that is being molded by a beautiful Father. You have a brother that took away all your sins. And in your temple is the Holy Ghost that guides and directs, in whom you are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Habitation. How you survive, how you live, how you eat, how you act. What does it say? Think on these things. Pure thoughts. The ability to do that. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good rapport, if there be any virtue or power, and if there be any praise, think on these things. The Christian thinks on those things. The Christian focuses on those things. The law points to the sin. Points to the difference between you. I didn't do that one. And Paul is saying this enmity has been taken away. The middle partition is broken down. Those things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The Christian has the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit influences you to think on the good things, like it says in Philippians. Paul is telling us in this text that the enmity which the law produces, which says you're better than somebody else, has been slain and abolished because you belong to a God and a Son that produces grace and peace through the Holy Ghost. So we graciously understand that somebody is different than us. Somebody has sinned the same as us, because if you've sinned under the law one sin, you've sinned them all. We're all equal. So why does the thought come to us, I'm better than them? Because Satan is using the law to convince the Christian that you're better, and you're not. We are not better. We all deserve to go to one place, and by the grace of God, we are going to another. And every day we fight daily against this battle, that flesh that we fight, because we know that Satan is defeated. We know we are far different than the world because we believe in a God that most people don't. Most people think we're crazy to believe in him. But there's the receipt. If you have a love for your brother and a guidance that directs you into all truth, and you have a heart of conviction, not a heart of condemnation, God has changed you. If you notice, the older you get, the more you love people that you didn't really love before. They were close to me, but now you love them. It's because you're being predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. God is making you more Christ-like. More Christ-like, more Christ-like. Because he's presenting that bride to his Son. And Paul is trying to tell us, don't let that partition stay in place. Don't let that enmity that has produced a separation be in your heart, because it is abolished and it is slain in this text. It's very close to the flesh, but we need to war against it. We need to recognize that God has come to save sinners. And like Paul says, in I am chief of sinners. We all, as Christians, are chief of sinners. Don't build walls up. Everyone is of intrinsic value to God. Everyone, every human being that was created from the beginning to the end. We're not the one to judge whether they're created to honor or dishonor. Let God do that. We're just to honor and glorify God through his word and through his Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for removing that barrier, that spiritual barrier, so that we are all united in Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. We're united in you and in your Spirit and in your direction and your guidance. And Father, we ask that you would bless this congregation. Continue to give them grace and mercy every day so they can fight the good fight of faith. We ask that in Jesus' holy name. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord give you peace. In Jesus' name. Let's close with 442.
Burning bright.